That song is a testimony. Now I belong to Jesus. Maybe the question we need to ask ourselves, do we belong to Jesus? I trust your answer is yes. In the familiar Christmas musical, The Nutcracker, there's a scene that shows a woman with a large skirt whose children hide in the skirt. Just like children hiding in their mother's skirt, you and I as Christian believers have a shelter or a refuge in the very person of God. God is our refuge. We go to Him in prayer. We trust in Him to shield us from outside assault or harm. He is our refuge. But what do we call people that go to a refuge? Refugees, right? You and I are refugees from this world. We are refugees from Satan's attacks, from the assaults outside, and we flee to the Lord our refuge. Please take your Bible, turning to Psalm 91. What a precious psalm this is. Speaks to us of how God graciously cares for and protects His own. Psalm 91. In fact, many of you have probably committed a few of these verses at least to memory. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Stop. At that point, we're talking about people who are hide in the Lord. Those who have fled to Him for refuge. Those who are walking with the Lord. Now, not every believer walks with the Lord. We all have the same possibility of walking with the Lord, but not everyone does it. Sometimes we face trials and we rely upon the hand of other people. Sometimes we face trials, and what happens is that we become grumpy and complaining, and we see ourselves as victims instead of acting like a refugee going to the place of refuge. We linger, we stay where we are, when instead we should fly to the one or flee to the one who can protect us and care for us. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. By the way, my is important. You see that personal relationship there. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence or plague. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, and this is the Lord talking now, because he, the one who's come to dwell under the shadow of the Lord, because he has set his love upon me, if we put capital letters to identify the adjectives that describe God, the word me should have a capital letter. Therefore will I, that's the Lord, deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. We're talking about those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Those appoint to abide, as John 15 talks about. That personal, ongoing warmth of fellowship between my heart and God. There's some special privileges, special benefits for those who walk close to the Lord. I will dwell under the tree. Isaiah 25, verse 4. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Imagine yourself in a burning desert. The sun is just creating a sense that everything around you is boiling. You look across the landscape and you see those heat waves. You feel your skin hot, hot. You breathe the air and it seems like every breath you take, you're breathing air out of a blast furnace. And it's in this focus. Perhaps the Sirocco winds that blew from Israel, blew upon Israel from the east. It's in this setting that he says, abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Everything around you is hot, blistering hot. If you were to take your shoes off and walk on the burning sand, you'd have blisters on your feet. But he says, don't do that. Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, God protects us in various ways, and various figures of speech are used here to describe what God does. Look in verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. If you were being attacked by an enemy army, where would you want to go? You'd want to go someplace that was walled around so that you could be protected on every side as a walled city, a military fortress. God is like a military fortress. He says, regardless of what happens to you, come to me in the hour of danger and I will be your fortress. He who dwells in an impregnable fortress naturally trusts it. Likewise, we are exhorted to dwell in God, secure in His safe keeping. Look in verse 3. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Picture yourself as a bird. The bird lands on the ground, and there's some bait there. It looks really good. But that bait is in the midst of a snare, a trap. Now, how are you going to be protected from that trap? God is going to say, don't go near it. Stay away from it. And God has declared certain things in Scripture we're to stay away from. We're to stay away from sin. We're to avoid all appearance of evil. Don't even get close to it. He helps us to avoid the snare of the fowler. Look in the next verse. Verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Like a mother hen with the little chicks running to that mother hen whenever there's a possible problem. The Lord says, come to me. Let me take you under my wings. There are several ways to understand this. One of the commentaries suggests that this represents the cherubim in the Holy of Holies. Come and abide under the shadow of the cherubim. Others have suggested it's like a mother hen protecting her little chickens. But we are to come to Him. Hawks in the sky and snares in the field are equally harmless when you and I nestle near the Lord. Last part of verse 4. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Now, buckler was basically the coat of mail that would protect the warrior, the soldier. So he's saying, God's truth shields us from whatever it is that would cause us to fall or to fail. God's truth. Now, this reminds us of the armor of the Christian over in Ephesians. Chapter 6. God wants to protect us. He protects us as a soldier in battle. Well, what do soldiers in battle experience? Is it always problems in the daytime? Is it always a foe that you can see? No, oftentimes it's something that happens at night. You hear the rustle around you. A shot comes out of the dark. An arrow flies. Terror in the night. The Lord protects us in the daytime or in the nighttime. Don't be afraid of the terror by night, of the arrow that flieth by day. And certainly Satan has his darts trained on the believer, doesn't he? He is ready to hit you in any way he possibly can, but you don't have to be afraid. You can trust him, and he will care for you. We can cast all our care because he cares for us. The error in the day, the terror at night. Here's an interesting thing. Nor for the pestilence, verse 6, that walketh in darkness. Plagues do not necessarily carry a sign, I have the bubonic plague, don't come near to me. But there are bubonic plagues of sin, as it were. And God says, I will protect you. I will care for you if you'll walk with me. The plague of moral evil, of heresy, of backsliding. God says He wants to take care of us. Others shall fall. And yet as we walk with the Lord, He cares for us. Look in verse 9. He cares for us in another way. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. your dwelling place. God says, I want you, I want to protect you like you would feel protected in your own home. And in fact, I want to be your home. I want you to be at home with me. He says, let me care for you by providing a home. Admittedly, the word here conveys the idea of a tent. But whatever it is, it's where God is. He says, I want you to be with me. I want you to walk with me, and I want you to realize that you can be home with me regardless of what happens, regardless of the day, regardless of the night, regardless of your friends, the enemy, the doctor, whoever. He says, let me comfort you as you would be comforted and feel secure within your own home. Verse 11, he shall give his angels charge over thee. God protects us miraculously again and again. Angelic care. You remember that was one of the temptations that Satan tried to throw at the Lord Jesus. Go ahead, put yourself in harm's way, and then see if God's angels will protect you. Matthew chapter 4, you remember the instance here. Verse 5, then the devil taketh Jesus up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, quoting Psalm 91. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Well, did Jesus jump? Jesus said to him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Don't deliberately force God to care for you by choosing to do that which puts you in harm's way. But when you find yourself in a dangerous situation, trust the Lord, because He can care for you miraculously. As nurses carry little children with careful love, so shall these angels bear up each individual believer. And you want to underline Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is thy refuge, listen to this, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Underline the phrase, underneath are the everlasting arms. Why? Because the eternal God is thy refuge. The angels are going to care for you. The Lord desires to keep us from stumbling. May graciously send these angels to bear us up above the rough ways of life. But certainly, we are not to deliberately expose ourselves to evil in order to force His protection. Let's look at one more thing here of God's protection. We've already talked about six. Protects you like a fortress. Protects you from traps and deception laid for you. He protects you as a hen protects her chickens. He protects you as a soldier in battle. He protects you by being a home for you. He protects you with angelic care. Number 7, verse 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. He protects you from ferocious animal-like attacks. I'm not saying walk out into a wild animal area unprotected. But you know, that goes about like a what? Roaring lion. And God says, I'm going to take care of you, even amidst times like that. When men act like beasts, God says, I want to take care of you. When Satan attacks, attempting to deceive and to destroy, God says, I want to take care of you. And so, He protects us from ferocious, animal-like attacks. Even when we think of the snake as being very sly and being very covert, you don't see it until all of a sudden the fangs find themselves embedded in your skin. Satan is like that. He's very cunning, very sly, very deceptive. And the animals, you think of the lion being the king of the animals. When he roars, everybody in the jungle responds. And yet you and I are safe from serpents in the way. The men who dwell in God are those for whom the most evil of forces become harmless. Quickly, the last three verses in this psalm. Why is this going to happen? What are His promises to those who walk close to Him? Number one, He will deliver us because we love Him. Verse 14, because He, God talking about the one that walks with Him, because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. Great commandment. Somebody, one of the lawyers, came up to Jesus and said, what's the greatest commandment? Matthew 22:36. Master, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Scripture says, because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. What does God do? God does. What does He want? Love Him. Love involves commitment. It's not just a casual thing to walk with the Lord. It's an everyday thing. It's an every hour thing. It's an every moment thing. He says, I want you to love me. Don't just love me on Sunday. Don't just love me on Sunday morning. Love me through the week, through the day, through the night. He will deliver us because we love Him. The latter part of verse 14 in our text, I will set Him on high because He has known my name. Philippians 3:10 speaks to us about knowing the Lord, not just with our head knowledge, but with our personal experience. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Note what it says in this very important passage, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Now, there's certain things we know as fact. There's certain things we know in experience. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good for those that love God, for those who are the called according to His purpose. But I don't know that by experience. I haven't faced every trial. I haven't experienced every pain. I haven't gone to the depths of sin for God to let me out. And yet I know through revelation of God's Word, it impacts my mind and, of course, my heart. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. That sense of a personal experience, the experience of a husband and wife, the experience of children and parents, the experience of an employer and employee, we have that experience. And it says here, I will set him on high because he has known my name. Not just how to spell G-O-D, but to know the nature, the person of God. God says, if you'll do that, I will set you on high. I will honor you. What a blessing it is that God holds out to us. He will honor us. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm looking at verse 7. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, you may not receive the honor in this life, but God says when the Lord Jesus comes back, His reward is with Him. Or we could look at James chapter 4 and verse 10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. He will honor us because we know Him. Look at verse 15 in our text. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. The promise of answered prayer. The promise of answered prayer. God says, if you love me and know me, I will be honored to answer your prayer. Heirs of heaven are conscious of a special divine presence in time of severe trial. God first gives us conquering grace, and then He rewards us for it. He will answer our prayers. And note the last verse in Psalm 91, with long life will I satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. There's such a thing as people living a long time and not enjoying their life. But He says, I want to give you life. Remember John 10:10? Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. This is what life is all about. Life isn't necessarily the number of birthdays you have. It's the blessings that you have by walking with the Lord. Some people are old and crotchety and miserable, grumpy and gripey and complaining. Others who may live shorter years are praising folks. They're rejoicing people. They're complimenting people. Instead of trying to ruffle their feathers, they try to say, what can I do to be a blessing to you? With long life will I satisfy Him. What is all this trying to tell us? Trying to tell us that we need to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We need to abide with Him. We need to love Him. We need to know Him. How do we do this? It begins by first realizing that God is the answer to my need. I have a great need. In fact, I was born with a great need. I was born with a sinful nature. God says the wages of sin is death. But then I came to that point that I realized that Jesus Christ took my place on the cross. He died for me. He suffered for me. He suffered for the sins of mankind. And I trusted Him with all of my heart. That began the walk of faith. When did your walk of faith begin? 5, 15, 55, whenever. It doesn't make that much difference right now, except that you must say, there has been a time I have deliberately chosen to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. And if that hasn't happened, if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not even a candidate for Psalm 91. But once we've made that decision to say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of my heart, I trust Him, forgive my sin and give me His gift of everlasting life, then you're ready to begin the walk of faith. The Lord, your refuge. And recognize as you read Psalm 91 that you are a refugee needing His help every day. Will you flee to Him? Will you follow Him? Will you let Him be your refuge? Heavenly Father, it is our delight to know that we can find refuge under your wing, under the shadow of the Almighty, fleeing to you as little chickens would run to the mother hen. Teach us, Lord, to love you, to know you, and to walk with you, and to flee to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.